morning, we're going to begin a series that I've been looking forward to for some time. We're going to talk for the next 5 weeks, well, including this week, we'll talk for the next few weeks on Game On. It's time to change our world. Game On is that which we say when it's time to get started. We're suited up. You know, we've been working out. We've got the game plan. Now it's time to go. It's time to change our world. And we're going to look at it very, very strategically about how we can go about changing our world. And we're going to begin this morning with Game On. It's time to ask God to use me. In your worship folder, you'll find a spot there where you can kind of follow an outline if you choose to do that. If you like to write notes or whatever, you can see the outline that we're going to be working on this morning. But I want us to start here because if we're going to make a difference in the world around us, the place that starts is in prayer. We have to first ask God to use us if we're going to really be used by Him. In order to be effective in making a difference, we have to first be in the right place with God, and that happens when we pray. We say, God, use me. To get us started with that, I want to invite your attention to John chapter 17. If you have your Bible with you, look with me in John chapter 17, and we're going to begin at verse 13. John 17 is recording the night that Jesus spent with His disciples, that very last evening that they were together. This is the upper room experience. This is where He washed their feet. This is where He gave a fuller meaning to Passover, which we understand now as the Lord's Supper. All of that took place. This is when Judas, this is the night that Judas betrayed Him. This is the night that Peter denied Him. All of that took place on this night. And in that setting, Jesus prays what we often call the high priestly prayer. I think we ought to call it the Lord's Prayer, but that name was already taken. What we usually call the Lord's Prayer really, I think, should be called the disciples' prayer, because Jesus gave it to the disciples. He said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. He gave it to the disciples so they would know how to pray. So I would call that the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, as the Lord is praying directly to the Father in John chapter 17. Let's start at verse 13, and we're starting about halfway through the prayer, by the way. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus is praying in the hearing of His disciples. He is praying to God, but He's praying in the hearing of His disciples. And so when He talks about them, He is talking about His disciples. Yes, He's talking about the 11 faithful that night, but I think He is also talking about any other disciples who will follow Him on down the road throughout the ages, including those of us who are His followers. And so in verse 14, He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them. That word means to set aside. It means to make holy, to purify. Make them different from the world. The church makes a mistake when we work too hard to be like the world so they'll understand us. Jesus prayed that we wouldn't be anything like the world. He said, don't take them out of the world, but God, set them apart so they're different. Beloved, we should be different than those who don't know Jesus. We should be different than the rest of the world. And so that was His prayer. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then we're going to focus on verse 18. You see it? As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. That verse 18 is actually going to be the theme for the entire series. As God sent Jesus into the world, He now sends His disciples into the world. We are a sent people. God has sent us, Jesus has sent us into the world. And it's time for us to change our world. It's time for us to make a difference. Jesus is praying that you would get in the game, that you would be used. Imagine that was Jesus' prayer right before He went to the cross, that you and I would be used by God. He prayed that we would get into the game. Football games are amazing things to watch, aren't they? Just amazing events. You can have 22,000 people in the stands and 22 people on the field. And the 22 on the field desperately need rest. And the 22,000 in the stands desperately need exercise. And yet they just sit. Does that sound too much like the word, like the church? Where we've got a lot of spectators and too few actually on the field. Part of that, I think, is due to the modern church mentality that our goal is to get people here. And so we've kind of set up a consumer mentality. Since we want you to get here, we're going to do whatever it takes to get you here, because that's our goal. And so once you get here, we kind of make you feel like your job is to sit and watch. And it's our job to entertain you enough to keep you. I think that's a mistake that the modern church has made for the last couple of decades, really. Because our goal in church is not to get you here. In church, our goal is to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our praise. Now, my goal as pastor, my goal is to help you find your spot to serve Him. That's what this is really supposed to be about. Please don't be offended. Please don't get mad at me. This is really not about you. Right, Lonnie? That's the first page of that book we study. This is not really about you. It's about Him. I want you here. And I'll do all that I can to have you come and make you feel welcome and help you find your spot. But ultimately, it's not about you. Jesus prayed that His disciples would be set apart to do their part. We don't need just 22 people on the field with 22,000 watching. It's time. Game on. It's time to ask God to use me. At the end of our time, I'm going to challenge you to pray a three-word prayer. When we're done this morning, I'm going to challenge you to pray a three-word prayer. God, use me. But before we're ready to pray that prayer, there are some things that we need to do. All right? We're going to go through these as quickly as we can. There are some things that we need to do before we can pray that prayer. Number one, All right, there's a little delay. I'm going to catch up. Here we go. Now we got it. Number one, I need to purify my heart. Before I can seriously say to God, use me. I want to get in there and do something. First, I have to purify my heart. Have you ever heard a coach say about a player, he's got a lot of skill, he's got some talent, but his heart isn't in it? Coaches have a way of telling when your heart is in it. You can be good at it, But if you're not sold out about it and you don't really care about it and you're not giving it your all, coaches have this ability to figure that out and see it. You know, I think if we're going to make a difference in the world, our heart has to be in it. And the problem is most of us, I think most of us feel unworthy. Most of us feel like Moses did when he first got started. Most of us feel like somebody else can speak better than I can. Somebody else could do that job better. Somebody else is more qualified. I haven't learned yet. I haven't done this. I'm not ready. Most of us feel unworthy. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you a secret. If you feel unworthy, you're exactly right. You are unworthy. So what? It's not about you, remember? You are unworthy. And that's the beauty of grace. That God takes those of us who are unworthy and even unable, and He enables us. Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them, which means purify them, set them aside. That can only happen through Him. Don't let your unworthiness keep you from service, because we're all unworthy, and that's the plan. If we could do it without Him, we wouldn't need Him. It wouldn't be about Him. It'd be about us. We begin by purifying our hearts. We go to God and we say, God, I know I'm unworthy. Sanctify me. Cleanse me. Clean me up so I'm a clean vessel that you can work through. In Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And folks, I think that's where we are at First West. I really do. I think tomorrow is going to be a fantastic day for us. Tomorrow is going to be an amazing time in our church and in our community. And it's time for us. It's time for us to get in the game. It's time for us to really ask God to use us. And that starts when we purify our hearts. Purify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. The second thing we have to do, you know, before we can really pray that prayer sincerely, dedicate my body. First, I have to purify my heart. Then I have to dedicate my body. What I mean by that is, for an athlete to really be beneficial to the team, that athlete has to work out a little bit. He got to show up for practice. He got to sweat a little bit. And the same thing is true in kingdom work. That's why we call it work. We have to show up. We have to sweat a little bit. We have to be willing to serve, willing to do, willing to work hard for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Back then, he was talking about those folks who would enter into what was the precursor to the Olympics. It was the Athenian Games that eventually became the Olympic Games. And these games, when you would work out and you would work out and you would diet and you'd do whatever you got to do and you'd stress and you'd strain, you'd sweat and you'd cross that line and you'd finally be the winner. You were the winner of the great race. And what did they give you? Some leaves to put on your head. They'd make a little crown out of leaves and they'd put it on your head. And 2 days later, your crown's looking pretty rotten. And these people would work themselves to death to get that crown of leaves. And Paul says, folks, they work that hard for something that's not going to last. Did you know that even Super Bowl rings won't last forever? Folks work really hard to get something that's not going to last. But we work hard to get a crown that will last forever. This is not talking about earning your salvation, by the way. That happens with grace. But as believers, we're already disciples. As believers, we work hard so that when we see Him in glory, we can receive a reward that matters. We purify my heart. I dedicate my body. And then number three, I'm going to have to simplify my schedule. You know, we have to purify our hearts because God doesn't use some people just because they're lazy. We have to dedicate my body because he won't use us unless we're willing to work hard. But also, sometimes He won't use some people just because they're too busy for Him. I got all this other stuff. I've got all these things that I've got to do that I'm in charge of. I've got to handle. I've got to do. God, when I have time, I'll get to You. And because we know He's a gracious, loving God, it's very easy for us to take advantage of that and put Him last on the list or on the back burner. We'll get to you. Maybe, you need to learn to say no to some very good things in order that you can say yes to God's best things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. It's too easy for us to get entangled in the stuff around us, the civilian affairs, instead of working and making sure that our top priority is pleasing the commanding officer. We're going to have to simplify our schedule. Lisa, do you remember what David Gwynn used to say when we were in college? He said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And that's the picture of life for a lot of us, isn't it? I'm so busy, I don't have time to get in the game and make a difference in the world. Number four that I have to do before I can really pray this prayer, fortify my faith. Fortify my faith. If I want to be used by God, I have to properly believe that God can, will, and wants to use me. That takes faith. Before I can ask Him, God, use me, before I can pray that prayer, I have to believe that He can do that, that He will do that, and that He wants to do that. I have to fortify my faith to really trust that He can do this. I know some of us are afraid to pray, God, use me, because they think that He'll make them do something strange or weird or scary. He's going to make me go to a mission field somewhere in Africa. Or worse yet, He'll make me go to seminary and become a preacher. God wants to use you. Catch this. God wants to use you through your current interests, your personality, and your gifts. He wants to use you in your world, right where you are, just as you are. And let me show you. Let me show you how God's going to do that when you really pray, God, use me. The second section in your notes there, we're going to go through these fast, so hang on. What happens when we really pray, God, use me? When I've fortified my faith, I know He can do it, and I'm ready to pray, God, use me. Where does He use me? How does He do it? First, God wants to use me in my family. God wants to use you right where you are. You don't have to be afraid to pray, God, use me, because you don't have to fear that He's going to change your life all up and goofy. He gave you that life on purpose, for a purpose, and He wants to use you within your family. Joshua 24 and 15 in part says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's where Joshua started. Me and my house. God wants to use you in your family, whatever that looks like for you. God wants to use you in your church. God wants to use me in my church. People who think the church is here to serve them are never happy for long, but almost always have their feelings hurt. Think about it. People who think the church is here to serve them are never happy for long, and they almost always get their feelings hurt. Every few weeks, they feel cheated or hurt or mistreated or something. But people who see the church as a place to serve are almost always joyful. Have you ever noticed that? If I come to get served, I'm never going to be satisfied because it's never going to be quite enough. But if I come to serve others and to serve the Lord, then I find joy. God wants to use me in the church. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. A picture of the body. The church is the body of Christ, and so Paul uses the picture of the body. He could also use the picture of the team. Here it says, for Him the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, each one does his own part. That's the team we were talking about earlier. God has chosen each of us to play a role, and He puts us in a specific position with a specific purpose. And when we work together, each part does his work, the church thrives. God wants to use me in my work as well. He wants to use me in my family, in my church. He wants to use me in my work. Most of us spend most of our time at work. We usually compartmentalize our lives so that I've got my work life over here, I got my personal life over here, and I got my church life or God over here. In reality, what He wants us to do is get rid of the compartments and live one life in which He is Lord, even at work. God wants to use me in my work. If you show up to work for God tomorrow, it'll change your perspective, even though it's a Monday. If you show up to work for God instead of your apparent boss or instead of the almighty dollar, if you show up tomorrow morning to work for God, it'll change your perspective in your work. Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. The fourth thing that He wants to do, God wants to use me in my world. This is the thing. You don't need to be afraid to pray, God, use me, because you think He's going to change your life into something different and scary and strange. He wants to use you right where you are. He wants to use you in your family, in your church, in your work. He wants to use me in my world, right where you are. In Acts chapter 1 at verse 8, Jesus told the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, you're going to be my witnesses to the whole world. You're going to change the world. But where did it start? In Jerusalem. Why? Because that was their hometown. That was where they were at the moment. He said, this is how this works. You're going to start making a difference in your world right there in Jerusalem. And then it will expand to Texas and the United States. I just jumped continents on you, didn't I? And then it will expand to the rest of the world. It starts in West Texas or in Abbott, Texas or in Hillsboro and Aquila. And if you just got your feelings hurt that I left you out, I'm sorry. It starts where you are, your Jerusalem. You see, God wants to use me in my world. The point is, don't get caught standing on the sidelines or sitting in the stands. Get in the game. Let God work in your Jerusalem and in your Judea and Samaria that He might touch and change the world. Well, why do we do all this? Because God wants to use me for His glory. Because God wants to use me for His glory. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves alive to Him. Your life now is about Him. Consider your old life your life before Him gone. Yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. What we do for His glory. I'm about to challenge you to get in the game. I'm going to challenge you to pray that three-word prayer. But before we do that, look at one more example. Isaiah 6. Isaiah walks into the temple, sees God high and lifted up, and he hears a voice. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Game on. Let's go." Martin Luther King changed the world in a huge way, in many ways. Did you know before he made any of those major changes, he had written in his journal these words: "Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself." What a great prayer. We can sum it up in three words. You ready? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads right now. And I'm going to ask you if you're ready. Pray these three words. God, use me. And just pray it quietly. Mean it from your heart. Pray it. God, use me. God, we do thank you for giving us the opportunity, the privilege, and the joy of being used by an almighty God to affect life around us, to affect the world, to make a difference. And it begins here at this moment as we pray, use us for your glory. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to use us even though we don't deserve it. We're not worthy. We're not good enough. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the way that we could be made right with you and be changed and then change the world. Thank you. Help us now to get in the game, to be your disciples, your hands, your feet. We pray in Jesus' name.